you have to try this.
Okay, just a bite. Hey everyone, welcome to Social Takeout.
Small bites of social discussion. Go check out our Patreon, patreon.com/hellosocialtakeout. For $5 a month, you receive an extra episode every week.
And also please help us out by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find our podcast, so please go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Hello Social Takeout. And guess what? We're on TikTok now.
Yay!
And that's at Social Takeout. Easy yes. There.
We have some hilarious videos.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Today we're talking about how to build intimacy in friendships. If you haven't listened to our sex versus intimacy episode already, go listen to it. It's sort of the baseline of this episode. This concept of having close friends also ties with our happiness episode as well. So go check out that as well.
Jeremy and I both have had the experience of moving to a new country and having to build a community and friend group. Jeremy has actually done this multiple times.
Yeah. Welcome to my life. And as most of us know, making friends as an adult is very, very difficult. And some people also have trouble making friends when they are kids. Looking at you, Sarai.
So I was a tall, fat, black kid at a private school with only
in a uniform.
Yes, in a uniform.
I just want to paint the picture here.
Picture this. 1991. No, I have no idea. So
72.
Yeah. Oh, shut up. So like in fifth grade, I was the same height as my teacher running around in a fucking uniform. And there were like only two other minorities in the lower school. So like not in my grade, but like K through like six, you know? So, yeah, I didn't fit in. and then like, I also didn't fit in with the other black kids at the school, because they were all in this program called Jack and Jill, which is a social club for affluent black families and children. What? Yes, but it's only for children whose parents are still married. So
I feel like that's not a good thing to have in school, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't in school. It was just like all of the black kids at the school were in this program that's outside of school. But yeah, like really focused on like the complete family unit. So didn't fit in with that group either. Wasn't allowed. Yeah. But since high school, I've had a much easier time of things.
Yeah. High school time, it's rough for many people.
Yeah, I actually had a good time in high school. But how important do you think having friends as an adult is?
Very, very important. I mean, at least, I'm not saying, it doesn't have to be friends, at least a friend, someone you can talk to. It doesn't have to be a best friend that you can say everything to, but having another human being, apart from, say, people who birthed you, I think it's very important to actually have, just for your mental sanity. It's kind of having a therapist, in a way.
Don't use your friends as therapy.
They are, though, because sometimes you just want to vent something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So according to a 2017 research paper, the link is in the description, quality friendships are a key ingredient to not just your happiness, but also your physical and mental health, sometimes even more so than your family. I would say always more so than your family.
Yes, always, because... Oh my God. if all my friendships were like my family, I would not be here. Like they did not agree with anything that I did. So it's kind of like I can't be myself. Yeah. My close friends are people who are I can actually be 100% myself with, and they would not judge me for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So more from the Mayo Clinic on this is that close friendships can increase your sense of belonging and purpose.
So like what you just said of like feeling you can be yourself.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And boost your happiness and reduce your stress. Yes, mm-hmm. definitely. Like I said, like just venting sometimes.
Unless the friend is you, and then like my stress level is like through the fucking roof.
But see, in my case, it's actually the other way around. Making you stressful gives me like a comedic effect. It's relief. Uh-huh. Improve your self-confidence and self-worth. Mm-hmm. Not everyone, after admitting.
Sure,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we should say, like, this is non-toxic, healthy friendship. Yeah.
Help you cope with traumas like a divorce, serious illness, job loss, or the death of a loved one. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Encourage you to change or avoid unhealthy lifestyle habits such as excessive drinking or lack of exercise. Mm-hmm. And friends also play a significant role in promoting your overall health. So adults with strong social support have a reduced risk of many significant health problems, including depression, high blood pressure. Studies have also even found that older adults with rich social lives are likely to live longer than their peers with fewer connections.
So like, you know, seniors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, that also comes down into like, say, for example, a person living... I don't know, maybe it's not the same thing, like prison life, for example, mm-hmm. where you could be isolated a lot and you're constantly in the survival mode. That could probably reduce your life expectancy too, in a way.
I mean, if you're in prison, you said prison, yeah. right? Like, I didn't hear you. Like,
the people are coming out of prison afterwards. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so dramatic, like my grandmother, who is 103, I talk to her often and she's always like, oh, all of my friends are dead.
Oh my God.
You know, like she really misses having friends. And so, just like as much as I can call her and like, she loves talking to Marcus. So yeah. Okay, in terms of finding friends in a new place once you move, what's been your plan on how to make friends? Like, has it been a conscious thought of, man, I really need to find some friends?
I don't know if it's been, I mean, okay, I'll get to it. So for me, luckily, whenever I moved to a place, I didn't have to consciously make friends because I sort of got friends from like either work or college or church in some cases. When I was living in London, I actually joined this Pentecostal church just to make friends. So I was real Christian for some time.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, so it was just basically to have a community. But what I make a conscious effort on, and I think it's the type of friend. Mm-hmm. Like when I was in Toronto, I did not have any like musician friends. I was like, I really want musician friends. I was not really part of the music world. And now I'm in Berlin, which all my friends are in music. I'm like, uh-huh. I need some normal friends.
So funny. Yeah.
So, and I think recently, remember I told you, like, I need some Indian friends.
Yes,
and
you
told
you
me
did.
To go.
Yeah. And I was like, go on Facebook, find an Indian group in Berlin, you know.
Immediately joined one.
Yes.
Not been helpful because it's all Indians trying to come to Germany.
Oh, God. Well, group. I'm sure there's another group you can find. That was the first one that came up when I Googled it.
So, yeah. So it's not like a conscious effort of finding friendships. It's like the type of friend I wanted.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, like... really, when I moved here, once I started working, I, like, always had people around me. And yeah. I'm, like, this crazy person who tries to only work with people I like.
Yeah.
So, for the most part, like, working also fulfills my social needs. But I have to say, I do also really like having friends who have nothing to do with singing and music. So, like, for meeting people outside of music, I tried a bunch of stuff when I lived in the States, like joining meetups, which I found super creepy.
Like an AA meeting?
No, like meetups. Like, meetups is it's a site. It's a website where you can, like, get together with people who have the same interests as you. It's like...
Like it's, sex?
No, it's like arranging play dates for a group of adults because, like, it's hard to make friends.
Play dates for adults? That still sounds like sex to me.
No, it's not. Okay, it's like... What was one that I went to? It was like a jazz meetup. So we met at this restaurant that had jazz brunch every Sunday. And so we were like all sitting there eating brunch together, listening to jazz, but like none of us knew each other. And it was super awkward.
Yeah. We're like, ooh, I don't know if I'll go up to this.
It was really awkward. And like one of the women started flirting with my boyfriend and like we just like had to leave. Oh God, it was it was really, that was atrocious. I'm not slandering meetup. I did not have a good experience. But so like that was one thing I tried, volunteering. Actually, some of my friends that I have are just guys that I went on one date with and we were both just like, we're not attracted to each other, but like you're a really cool person. Can we be friends? You know? Then I've also made like really great friends at the gym, which is also where lesbians hit on me.
Well, you do give a lesbian vibe, remember?
I do, yeah, apparently.
So I'm very similar to you in that I tend to find most of my friendships through the various jobs I had or also through college. Some of my closest friends today is through college. And also some of the friends I have today are people I went on a date with at some point. There you go. And it really probably never went anywhere or I moved.
Exactly.
So they were just friends.
How many times have you moved?
I moved 5 times in my life, different countries.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So just because of that, I had to quickly learn how to find a community, or if I don't have a community, I need to be okay with not having a community, just to quickly learn. I'm also an only child, so I guess that sort of helps.
Yeah.
So the internet really did come into my rescue. I know people say, like, social media is not really a friendship, whatever, but with most of my closest friends, most of our interactions with each other have been through the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I've moved so far away from home, like, and I have a handful of like high school friends. I mean, less than that, like 2 high school friends that I still talk to, you know, that I'm really, really close with. But also, like, so I think everyone at this point knows I have celiac disease, and finding like support groups online for that has been so helpful, and just like my stress level and like making friends who, or acquaintances rather, who really know like that sort of struggle, you know, that wouldn't be possible without the internet. So
Yeah, definitely. Because it's like sometimes those commonalities, it's like when we talked about earlier about just mental well-being. Sometimes when you're talking about your celiac disease, for example, to someone who just doesn't have an idea on it at all, it can be so frustrating.
I know.
Yeah. So to be able to talk to someone who goes through the same experiences is important. That's why I always say there's a lot of gay people out there. Like, this is a thing. Like, I don't have gay friends. Like, it's a thing to say to some people, not everyone. Because they don't want to be part of the lifestyle or whatever. I'm like, not everyone's part of this lifestyle that you imagine in your head. Sometimes it's just nice to have you're gay and your experience is someone who's actually parallel to that, to sort of, you know that you're not alone about in this whole journey.
So
it's important.
On the topic of like people not understanding celiac, do you remember when you tried to poison me?
Which time?
Yes.
I'm always trying to poison you. Sometimes it's not on purpose. But
with the hummus, and you were, I was like, what's in this? And you were like, it's just chickpeas and tahini and a little bit of salt and garlic. And I was like, what else? And you were like, oh yeah, pasta water. Yeah. I was like, you bitch, get those away from me. Okay, so how would you go about making a new friend today?
Oh, many ways. But I read an article on The Guardian. It has 6 suggestions to follow when you try to make like a new friend today as an adult. All the adults in the room. So number one is building your self-confidence. I know it sounds very la-di-da, but but some people love building self-confidence because it's kind of like to be confident to approach a person or whatever. But it's mainly about just liking yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But before going off in search of friends, because if you like yourself, there's going to be, there's this light going to be shining out of you, hopefully. I know that still sounds la-di-da.
No, I like it. The longest term relationship and really the only relationship where you can know everything about that person is with yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also the idea of authenticity, because if you don't like yourself, you're going to try to be something else. And that's going to come out at some point. It's not going to be a proper, fruitful relationship that you're actually having. Number two is find something you feel passionate about. So just like you went to the meetup, I don't know if you're passionate about that meetup, but it's all volunteering. There's a cause.
Volunteering was better, way better. Okay, yeah. Volunteering.
So being in places where you find people with common interests. Like, for example, how do we meet? We met through music. Yeah. So we both love music and we both love to sing, and that's how we met.
I'm not exactly sure if we're friends yet. The jury's
shut up. And the third one is put yourself out there. Soraya, you're good at this. And
ouch.
Number four is meet in a neutral place. This I have a little bit of a weird thing with. Mm-hmm. I understand, like, so there's no pressure, so you both can be open as you want. Like meeting in a restaurant instead of each other's house. Some of my really close friends I've met is like, hey, can I cook dinner for you? Yeah. Sort of idea. So that is not a neutral space.
So, like, I have this dream of, like, not hooking up, but, like, introducing my voice teacher and my husband Marcus to each other, because they're around the same age and, like, they could be friends and then it would just be great. So, like, we went over to her house to, like, drop something off, and she was like, oh, do you guys want coffee? And it was like, yes, sure, great. Marcus was, like, so insecure and jealous of her apartment. Like, it was crazy. So I could see, like, if this is a new friend, like, meeting on neutral ground just to, like, get to know each other and not have those defenses be up, that could probably be a good idea.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but also you are forcing him to be our friend.
This is true. Yeah, maybe try not.
So the next one is ask questions. So be interested in the person and listen to them. And
what did you say?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's like, don't expect too much. So a common mistake is expecting too much from one person. And it is apparently more realistic and healthier to have a variety of friends for different reasons. So one person doesn't fit into all kinds of friends you may have. And I think we're going to be talking about that later.
Absolutely. Yeah, there are a bunch of different types of friends, like your gym friend. You know, I had one friend, like, we met and did Zumba every week, period, you know.
Yeah.
Tried introducing her to my boyfriend and one of his work colleagues. It didn't go well.
Exactly.
It was a disaster. So, like, know the limits of this friend, you know?
Exactly. So basically just, like, not expecting too much when you meet the person. Let it gradually grow, sort of idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every friend isn't for everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
An article that I read on theeverygirl.com, which, like, fine, but let's be clear, making friends is not just for women. They suggested 6 tips on how to approach someone you want to be friends with. So, you've gone out, you've found someone you want to be friends with, and, like, this is what you do. Highlight a similarity. So, like, Jeremy, you and I really love music. Isn't that funny?
Or if you go to a person, oh my God, you're a bitch too.
I feel like that one's a little dicey. Maybe save that for, like, the second meeting. Ask them questions. So it's the same thing, like, be inquisitive. Yeah. Pay them a compliment, but it should be sincere. Like, that's worth saying. Like, don't just say, like, oh, I love what you've got going on here, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Offer help. So, like, I didn't really know how you would do this with a new friend, but, like, for instance, I have this neighbor that I'm trying to be friends with. He's
with
really
the dog?
Cute. Yes. He's got a cute dog, but also he's really interesting. He's an author. He's also from the States. So, like, I'm always like...
Is he gay?
I still don't know. I'm not sure.
Hook a brother up.
I'm trying. I would love that. But so, like, I'm always like, oh, if you ever need help with the dog, like, we're here and we'd love to walk him or watch him or whatever. So, you know, that sort of thing. And, like, I'm also trying to be friends with our immediate neighbors. So I'm always, like, asking them if they want food or something because they're kind of elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number 5 is use humor. Mm-hmm. I like to think of myself as a pretty funny person, so...
Yeah, you did make me laugh a lot during our last meeting. But that wasn't you purposely trying to be funny.
I was not trying to be funny.
I was you just getting annoyed,
frustrated, and you thought that was hilarious. And then also be upfront, like if you want to be someone's friend, just be like, "Yeah, I think we should be friends." You know?
Yeah,
yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Yeah, remember, like that's a thing. Like that's what kids do. Like in the playground, you just go and say, like, "Hey, do you want to be a friend?" Yeah. It's funny that as adults, we find it a lot more like intimidating to do something like that.
Absolutely, but like, let's be honest. Like, if you say to someone, "Hey, do you want to be friends?" and they're like, "What? Why would I ever be friends with you?" and like start laughing at you, you know, that's someone you don't want to be friends with.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And that's also rare. Someone will just laugh at you if they ask. That doesn't really have some problems.
Mm-hmm. Right? Steer clear. And I'd honestly add a seventh thing, which is ask for a favor. So like, sometimes building a relationship or closeness, like it can help, like, "Hey, I really need someone to watch my dog." You know, I don't have one, but just for like 10 minutes while I go run this errand, would that be okay with you? Or like, "Do you have an egg? I need a cup of sugar," you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So it's basically you're building trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Don't be like, "Hey, I just met you. Watch my kids." You know, we're like,
"Oh my God."
We've all met the person who does this.
Have we?
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's just me.
Who does that?
I have stories. I'll tell you stories. Okay. But so let's talk about self-confidence for a minute. How confident are you?
It has, it really depends. So it has grown over time. So my problem with like, so when it comes to confidence and actually meeting people and being myself, for the longest time, I had to hide parts of me. Like, for example, being gay, just for security purposes. You know what I mean? Like, so it's still sort of ingrained into my head because it is a big part of me. Like, how are they going to react? Are they religious? Are all of these questions sort of go through my head? It's not as easy, as simple as like, "Oh, I fit in the sexual majority." So it's something that you can't see, you know. Well. I don't know if you're going to judge me. Well, shut up. But a lot of people don't know it. Trust me, I still get hit on by girls. And I'm kind of like...
crazy.
Yes, it is. And I try to feminize it up even more. And they still don't get a point of it. I'm like, some people are just so blind when it comes to their gaydar.
Yeah, or they've just like had no interactions with gay people.
Exactly, yeah. Blind. So it's built up over time. So now I'm a lot more confident in completely showing myself. Before, there was a time I had to butch myself up a little bit if I did not, especially in a corporate situation or whatever, because I just felt like it would be so inappropriate to completely be myself. It was a growing process. How about you, though?
I feel like I'm pretty confident. Like what you just said of like feeling it's inappropriate at times to completely be yourself. Yeah. I've definitely felt that. And I'm at the point where like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know, like me being myself is not inappropriate, you know. And honestly, you can see.
For you see me, what? Sorry?
Like, honestly, like, you know, I am a fat black woman. I say, yeah. I feel like I say this every episode, you know, and a lot of like me not being confident was around like being a fat black woman in a white space. So it's like that felt inappropriate for a long time, but I can't and don't want to be anything else. So
question on that though. So being a fat black woman, I mean, it's visual. Like, immediately, you're in a space to see it. But did you have to hide parts of your identity in sense that... I feel like we've had this discussion of some episode. Parts of identity in sense that you are very strong when it comes to social justice issues. Stuff that you talk about here on the podcast. Stuff like that. Yeah. Would you hide that when you're meeting a person for the first time?
I would, before. Now I'm like, we could talk about slavery all day, every day with anyone. You know? So exactly, like, it was funny. I was in the green room of some show and someone said something. And so I went on this very like, pointed, explanation of something that had to do with slavery. Because what they said was super ignorant. And I was like, "Sorry, guys, like, I hope it doesn't make you uncomfortable, but like, it's part of our society and involved in every aspect of our society. Like, I don't have a problem talking about it, you know, that's just who I am. And the director was like, yeah, I've noticed you don't have a problem talking about slavery. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's good or bad, but here we are.
that's like a backward kick of saying that that's all you talk about sort of idea.
Yeah, but it's like, you're the, yes, I get that, but what this person said, I was not going to let slide, you know?
Yeah,
and exactly. I have to say, I censor myself a lot in mixed company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a hard part, right? I wonder if, who is absolutely themselves, though?
Yeah. Well, like, is that even possible? Like, you're just yourself with yourself, you know? That's your strongest relationship, so, like...
Exactly. And I was talking about the same thing with a friend of mine recently. If you can sit with your partner or a friend and mm-hmm. read your personal journal with them, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. I tell Marcus everything.
Exactly. If you can do that, that means you're being 100% yourself with that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really feel like I got there by, like... having no more fucks left. Okay.
Yes.
So you've worked on yourself. You've built your confidence. You know what you're good at. Know what you don't know. With all that info about yourself, how do you decide if you want someone to be your friend? So say you're at a party and you've talked to 20 people. It's the end of the night. Who are you connecting with on Instagram and WhatsApp?
20 people, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. Instagram, all of them, because I want more likes and followers.
Okay.
On WhatsApp, it'll really depend. Like you know, immediately when you talk to someone, you're like, where have you been all my life? And it's nothing to do with, like, a non-platonic relationship or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can immediately connect with the person because a lot of the things you're talking about or things you believe, your values, everything sort of align. Yeah. And you know how the person just gets you? Mm-hmm. Then that's the person I want to meet again. But a lot of the times when you meet people, it's kind of like, oh, you're a human. Great.
Right. Completely different set of beliefs. Like, I'm interested in what you're saying and great, now I have can stop listening.
Exactly. Yeah. But do follow me on Instagram and like everything. How about you?
Hilarious. Yeah, it's a little bit of the same. It's like when you feel that, like, instant click. But for a long time, like, for me, it was everybody's my friend, you know?
Yeah. I think we've all been through that at some point.
Yeah. And it's just like you get so many toxic friends that way. Yeah. Because
but that's how you learn to, right?
Absolutely.
Who to keep and who not to.
Yeah. But so now I feel like it has a lot to do with me knowing myself and knowing what kind of people I like to be around, you know? So it's like thoughtful, introspective, maybe a little extroverted, but like not obnoxious, you know?
Yeah.
And so like me trying to keep an open mind, but like once you get to know yourself and deal with your own shit, you can kind of easily see those same problems in other people. One of my uncle's many girlfriends growing up, she would always tell me, like, in high school when I was complaining about some high school dumb shit, like, remember this, remember what you're going through with this person. You'll see the same type of person again. It's the same person, same shit.
Different mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, meaning when you come across someone else similar to this person, you know what to expect from them.
You know what else I call it? Red flag.
Yeah, exactly. Red flag. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's like on this international women's group on Facebook, people are always posting about, like, relationships and he did this and is this weird and blah, blah, blah. And I'm always posting, like, in case you're looking for one, red flag emoji, like, 10 times.
Yeah, but that's not even, like, friendships. It's definitely also when it comes to, like, relationships.
Yeah.
Like, you know how when you start dating someone in the beginning, you're like, this reminds me vaguely of, like, that last idiot that I dated.
Yes.
So yes, it's kind of like, yeah, let me stay far away from this. Mm-hmm. But that also comes with therapy. I have to feel like relationships and friendships are, like, you know, sometimes how people have a pattern.
Yes.
And they go through the same red flags again and again. I do. And again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sure may be one of them. But yeah, it's about learning from those red flags, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
I need to take my own advice. But
it's learning from these red flags, but more importantly, it's like taking your own behavior in that relationship and examining it and like, okay, he did this and why did I respond this way, instead of like telling him to fuck off, you know, like,
yeah,
what exactly. In me was so desperate for this relationship, like, just speaking for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
talking of toxic friendships, should we talk more about that on our Patreon?
Oh, absolutely. I have so many stories.
All right, so let's end our pod here.
Mm-hmm. Go check out our TikTok. The videos are hilarious. You're really going to like them. Yes. So, like, it's a bunch of extra free content, and, like, each video is based on, like, a concept or something that we said in an episode, so...
And you can see our horrible acting skills.
One of us has horrible acting skills. The other one is a trained thespian.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why you're laughing.
So follow us also on Insta, Twitter, and Facebook at Hello Social Takeout. And by the way, the Social Takeout TikTok account is at Social Takeout. Just wanted to let you know, guys know. Go follow us and like everything.
Mm-hmm. And share it with your mom.
Yes. So let's go on to our Patreon, talking about toxic friendships.
Yes, there's so many. Okay.
I know.
All right.
All right. Okay, bye.